Today we have another interview with one of our guests in the CRC 1313. My name is Christian Rode. I'm a member of the CRC 1330 and involved in projects which deal with mathematical modeling and in particular aim to do some homogenization. And homogenization in Prusa Media is the topic of today's interview with a specialist in the field. Dorian Propp, our new Mercator professor, who is here for some days to visit us. He is original from Hasselt University in Belgium, and let me shortly introduce him to the audience. So, he's originally from Romania, and he did his PhD at the University of Cluj in German Klausenberg in Romania under the supervision of Professor Kuhlmann and Professor Jäger from Heidelberg in Germany. And during your PhD, you visited Heidelberg, did your postdoc there, and after that, you went to the University of Eindhoven to become an assistant professor to go for a tenure track position. And now he is full professor at the University of Hasselt in Belgium. And as I said before, he is an expert in homogenization method, one of the worldwide leading people in the field. Homogenization, I would say, is something which has been brought from mathematics to the theory of Prusa Media to develop upscaled models on the Darcy scale, which maybe started 30 years ago with works by Tatar, Allaire and others. And so what is your opinion on the state of the art of homogenization? What do you think? Where is the field right now?
Thank you very much, and thanks for the introduction. It's very kind of you, and I think some things you exaggerate when you call me an expert, but of course, that's very kind of you. I think we are living exciting times, and it started actually homogenization, I think, in the 60s, if I remember properly. There was even a Russian school, Bakhvalov and Panasenko, and great names, and then it continues, Nguyễn Tseng from Cameroon, and Allaire, as you said. And we had French school, of course, very important. So things started initially, I think it was everything formal, but the ideas were there on pretty simplified examples where you could understand things easily, but of course that was the learning phase. Then we moved into the rigorous part with the two-scale convergence, for example, concept developed by Nguyễn Tseng and Allaire. And we had also, of course, compactness arguments, which were actually more at hand at that moment. And then moving forward to gamma convergence, for example, and all these kind of techniques, one more fancy than the other. And I think, yeah, there is a lot to discover further, because there has been a lot done in terms of, for example, non-periodic homogenization, stochastic homogenization, which needs to be developed further. But we are able now to tackle more and more complicated problems, systems, you can imagine. And I think we move slowly towards, let's say, hybrid models, where you integrate different modeling concepts. I'm more at home with continuum level models, but I see the importance and the evolution more and more towards, let's say, subcontinuum models, including Lyman-Boltzmann or even molecular dynamics types. I think that's very exciting, all these to include, and sometimes it's unavoidable, whether you like it or not, if you really want to address the problems properly.
Okay, so coming to the topics in the CRC, we are working together with engineers and try to convince the engineers by homogenization. And you contributed exactly, I would say, to this field as the interface between math and applied sciences. What do you think from the perspective of mathematics? Do our models help the engineers, or do they perturb more than they help?
Certainly, I hope that they help, because otherwise we should not do it. I think to mention from the very first beginning, the interaction with engineers, and not only engineers, with practitioners, it can be also specialists in medicine, in whatever, I think even economy, but okay, I'm not at home in this subject, it's very fruitful for both sides. For us as mathematicians, I think we learn about very interesting problems, challenging problems. We learn about realistic setups, because you want to make proofs, for example. If you can, you should do it. But sometimes to make a proof, you need to simplify a lot the context. And you learn by talking to engineers, you learn which assumptions are realistic and which not. And you do your best, of course. Also, it's inspiring to get ideas. It inspires you in addressing or developing new techniques. But at the same time, I think we as mathematicians by applying various mathematical techniques, and that's general, not only related to homogenization, we can also give a grounded, let's say, a rational approach to engineers. We don't have to talk always about abstract spaces. Of course, we like them, and we would like to do as much as possible. But when you talk to engineers, you're not going to simply tell them there is a solution in some abstract space. You want to tell them, give them numbers, you can give them techniques, you give them, you know, solutions. And I think we help in eliminating hand-waving arguments. I feel like, oh, it should be like this. Oh, maybe not. It should be like that. No. We explain exactly how it works. If we ourselves as mathematicians have understood the problem, then we can explain it in clear words to the engineers. And I think we can also contribute to this. Whether we manage, that's another issue. But I think that I see this as the path.
Yeah, personally, I think that one interesting topic in the field is to deal with interfacial flow. May it be interfaces between gaseous fluids and prismedium regions, may it be fractures interfaces, may it be chemically reacting transport phenomena, which is in particular the other one you have worked a lot on. This looks from a little bit apart, a little bit like a difficult problem, because the interface as a mathematical object is lower dimensional, and the homogenization techniques looks with a very coarse-grained view to this object. So you do think that traditional homogenization methods are appropriate to deal with this kind of interfacial methods? Interfacial problems?
Yes, I think traditional methods are always appropriate in the sense that they, after refinement, and they provide you the starting point. But there is hardly any problem that works if you stuck to the traditional, to approaches which were traditional, let's say 20 years ago or 30 years ago. In between, we have learned something and we do things differently. And then what we develop now, what we try to do now, will be traditional. I mean, I'm not saying myself, but in general, what's being developed now, it may become traditional over 20 years. So in this respect, there is always the answer, traditional methods would work, but of course the methods have to be adapted and advanced. Speaking strictly about interfaces, that's indeed a very special field, because I mean, there is a lot of challenging and interesting problems relating, or exciting problems, I would say, related to interfaces. First of all, even if they are there without any movement, just there, it's a question what happens at interfaces. How do we derive these coupling conditions and all these things? And I think in this respect, whether you call it homogenization or not, I don't know how to say it, but it's based on, say, asymptotic expansion methods, where you simply blow up the interface and you try to see it as an equidimensional object, and then you pass to the limit to the, in terms of the parameter, to zero, and then this allows you to derive interface conditions. That's already a subject that it's, in particular for non-standard or not so commonly used models, it's quite something to be done, and it's non-trivial. Next, you have interfaces that move, and that's very interesting, and of course for CRC 1313 that's a hot topic, and it's very important. It's about interfaces, in fact. Yeah, that's also something to be considered, because again, when they move, they change the, in particular if they move at a micro scale, if you have multiple scales, and then you have this microstructural evolution, that's also a topic that it's difficult to address, because there's all of a sudden the domains are changing in time, not only with respect to some small parameter epsilon, which we like to consider always. And then, yeah, think about how do you handle this. On top of it, this movement can be unknown a priori, so you have free boundaries. Okay, how do we handle it? I think here in Stuttgart, within this research project, this CRC, there have been some techniques developed, and of course phase field models are very popular and very well understood or studied CRC. So I think there is hope to address them properly. But on the other hand, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to address interfaces as they are, as lower dimensional manifolds. And as a matter of fact, I didn't mention the fractures, which is another aspect that's maybe probably the most straightforward example of, well, interfaces or not, because fractures are equidimensional at their origin. But again, you don't want to treat them as fractures, as equidimensional objects, because there is a strong anisotropy. So you want to treat them as let's say, lower dimensional manifolds, like similar to interfaces. And on top of it, these fractures may propagate. And I know there is quite a project or going on in this CRC for actually, it's an ongoing research line. So they are all very important for homogenization, not only in deriving what happens at the interfaces and what are the coupling conditions, but also maybe even more, I'm not sure where more challenging, but at least equal importance is what happens if you have systems with many, many interfaces and they are intersecting and they propagate. Now, I mean, that's sparkling actually, this field. So I think that's a lot to do.
This looks for me really like a big challenge. And the last years, there came up other methods, techniques like machine learning, techniques from the field of artificial intelligence. Homogenization from a wider perspective could be seen also as a model reduction method. You pass from a very detailed perspective to something coarse-grained where you have simpler models which can be handled at the end. So this is also what artificial intelligence people do some advertisement, that they can directly start from data, maybe experimental data, and develop neural networks, develop surrogate models on which or whatever kind of technique to come up with a coarse-grained model. So, what do you think? Is this the end of rational homogenization theory, which will be overtaken by AI methods, or is it more that these kind of approaches should come together?
Definitely is not the end. And I do believe that artificial intelligence is very important and it provides a lot of solutions and a lot of valid options, but without natural intelligence, I don't think it's valuable. In the sense that you cannot simply rely on things done blindly. Of course, if you extrapolate the knowledge, you get, of course, data is important, you get a lot of knowledge out of it, but always you should look at these things with a pinch of salt, because the information is extracted strictly from data. It's, I would say, a moment, or not necessarily in time, but it's one instance. And you cannot generalize it. And I think for both, let's say, homogenization and in general mathematical modeling and artificial research done in the field of machine learning, of deep neural networks and all these things, the collaboration will be extremely beneficial. If you try to understand each other's side, I think it's strong. So I'm just saying, for example, if you simply apply, let's say, machine learning techniques to solve a particular type of equation, so I'm speaking to you, Christian, and you're an expert in hyperbolic conservation laws, amongst others. If you try to solve a hyperbolic conservation law, you may end up, by machine learning, you may end up with practically crap solutions. I don't know how to formulate it better. But if you are careful and you include restrictions and constraints in such a way that, first of all, you need mass conservation, next, you need to satisfy some entropy solutions and all these things, then all of a sudden, the machine learning techniques can be valid and can be, let's say, not cheap, I'm hesitating, but not inexpensive method to solve these kind of problems. But again, then you have to incorporate these techniques. You may say, yes, you have incorporating them and that's it, and then you don't need a human anymore. But as always, this is a simple example, and we don't solve only one example, we move on. So from this respect, I think, yes, mathematics in general and homogenization techniques in particular, because they are needed for also in machine learning techniques, because they will tell us, okay, what are we doing right and how should we do the machine learning? In the other sense, it's very important for people who do homogenization to know and to learn about machine learning and to see how can we benefit. And I'm thinking back at an example we had with our former student. I mean, you were the main supervisor, but I was involved also in Magnus Rediker's work, where he developed these kind of techniques like, you know, doing calculations only locally. I should have mentioned in homogenization, we need to adapt all the time. We need to compute the effective parameters, even effective models. But if you do it according to the book, you should do it everywhere, every time. And that's a lot of work. It's still beneficial because you don't solve the full problem, but you solve many, many small problems. Now, with these kind of machine learning techniques, you can solve them only locally whenever needed. And that's smart. And that's fast. And it allows us to address not only that we solve faster and we get rapidly a solution, but this opens the possibility to tackle more and more complex problems. And I think that's the way to go.
Yes, I like this answer. Can we maybe go even one step further if you take as a special AI tool neural networks? And for us, maybe it's just nothing else than a poor network model. Can we homogenize a neural network and get some kind of homogenized artificial intelligence from it? some direction.
I think yes. Again, with natural intelligence, yes. And we just had discussions with Rainer and Hans Schwan. They work on poor network models. And Martin Schneider, they work on poor network models and trying to do simulations at poor network level. And as a matter of fact, now, poor network models, I think they are just the perfect, let me put it like this, a very suitable discretization of your model for flowing porous media. So if you think about, you know, the poor body, you can see them as the center of the control volume. The poor throats are connecting the poor bodies. If we do finite volume discretization, there are transmissivity or connect, I mean, they ensure for the connection between the control volumes. So at the end of the day, the poor network model can be similar, and in one approximation, can be similar to a finite volume discretization of your model. But then, because you choose your poor network in such a way that, for example, poor throats are along the main directions in the porous medium, so basically there is no issue like, okay, my permeability tensor is anisotropic because you choose to be isotropic. I mean, you construct a poor network model. If you construct a poor network model properly, you get it fine. You get a good discretization. Basically, you can say, I got the perfect discretization for my porous medium model. So then, coming back to homogenization and, you know, of these kind of approaches, yes, then if you make this analogy, you move then to the model, and basically this you can homogenize. And if you want, you go back to the poor network, you to discretize it. And that's it. I mean, you see, if you switch between concepts, you move from one field to another, you can come back, all of a sudden you can apply all the techniques you want. But you just have to get the understanding. You have to try to get a bird's view, you know, to understand the connection between fields. And I think that's very powerful.
Now I see that you get enthusiastic about this kind of point of view, and this brings me a little bit to the end of the interview, because I want to ask you, what are that what you problems in homogenization theory you want to solve, which you want to tackle, let's say, in the next 10 years, 20 years? What would be your problem at heart in this time?
Wow, it should be certainly in 20 years, because I think then, earlier than 20 years, because then I'm retired. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to start, I'm going to stop thinking about things, but I hope I'm healthy and my mind will work. But yeah, I think that's a strong direction to combine these kind of techniques, you may call them machine learning techniques, into continuum models and to homogenize and go back to the, let's say, and use machine learning techniques to make it even a more refined model. I think that's very interesting. To me, going further, getting like adaptive modeling, I mean, using more and more fancy models, but only where it's needed and where things work fine. I'm happy with easy, simple models. I think that's quite a direction. I mean, if you manage to do it properly, not just with hand-waving arguments, I think that's a strong advancement. If I'm thinking, but I don't think I will be able to do this because of lack of my knowledge, to combine these modeling concepts from not only continuum level, but also, let's say, more like more discrete level and even going to molecular, that's some kind of wishful thinking, but to be honest, to be realistic, I don't think I will come to that point ever.
Okay, this also sounds like this is what, a 100 years program what you just get. I would like to thank you a lot giving this interview, answering two crazy questions, but in particular, let me also thank, in the name of the CRC, that you are on board and supporting us with your expertise.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure and honor.